Right now, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, this man is no nonsense. Ladies and gentlemen, John Greco, former Browns lineman, current analyst. He's joining us this morning. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
All right, what the hell happened on Sunday?
I feel like, Ken, you know, as I'm watching the game, as bad as some of the parts were of the whole, you know, we're like trying to pick and blame and decide what's wrong. And, you know, at the end, it's like if we execute an extra point, we could go down and at worst tie the game and go into overtime and see what happens. And, you know, it's different. We're 2-2 and we're not having this conversation. We're saying, how can we beat a talented Washington team? But we can't execute an extra point. We get, I mean, let's just be honest, ticky-tack holding calls and negate touchdowns, procedural penalties, missed blocks, missed tackling. It's just, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the teams that I was on in Cleveland that, you know, we just were struggling to find a way to win, that's what this team looks like right now. It's 1 week, you know, an area will, you know, focus, re-energize and correct itself, and then an area that was, you know, ironclad the previous game lets up and is bad. So there's a lot of dark spots right now on the team, and I don't know. I that's why I hear these guys talk about, well, we just got to look at ourselves. We just got to correct the things that we can control, and there's a lot of areas on the team that are not doing that very well right now, and that's the reason why the record is what it is.
You called that a ticky-tack hold because in the game, excuse me, Ross Tucker, he thought it was ticky-tack, and then Gene Steratore came on, and I think Ross is a very nice guy, and I think he kind of was like, okay, I'll be nice to Gene, didn't want to start some fight in it, but I thought it was ticky-tack, but I'm like, well, I'm a Browns fan, I'm emotional, so I've been waiting to ask you. You said ticky-tack.
Yeah, and maybe that I shouldn't have said it that way.
Don't take it back. You sound like Ross Tucker.
Yeah, now who's Ross Tucker now?
I think it was a 50-50 call that, you know, the referee threw the flag. It wasn't like, oh, they scored. This block would have, you know, prevented that score had he not held. I don't think it was like some big conspiracy. I think it was just one of those 50-50 judgment calls because – As they were rewinding it and you were watching Nick Harris really hang the guy out to dry the entire play, but when he went to disengage, I think that's where it was. And when they see that cloth being held and a guy's restricted, when he goes to disengage to try to make a play, that's where you get those, in my words and mind, ticky-tack holding calls. I don't think it was called initially when you saw him, Nick Harris, you know, really extend and there was some jersey grabbing and everything, but that's football. That's how offensive linemen are. I think it was when the defender went to disengage and make a play that, you know, it's hard to know where the quarterback is, and you just have to know that when my guy goes to leave to try to fall and dive, you have to try your best to let go. So, I can't imagine they're blaming Nick Harris. I just think it was more of a 50-50 call by the ref that it was like, you know what, in my mind, yes, it was enough to where when he went to make a play, there was still jersey grabbing, and he prevented him from trying to make a play.
John Greco with us. It's been brought to our attention by the film gurus on social media that the Browns are not handling the stunts well at all, and teams are certainly picking up on it, and they are making us pay. What can be done about that with the existing personnel, John?
That happens in practice, and Anthony, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but I mentioned that on the show, and that's frustrating to see. And the O-lines that I've been on, been a part of, that were struggling and bad, that was what teams would do. And, you know, coaches would lose their minds because Andy Dickerson, I guarantee you, they are watching that tape, they're walking through it, they're practicing it, but at the end of the day, the guys up front have to have the proper technique. There's two things that happen on a twist. There's a penetrator, which is the first guy that tries to get to the looper's hip. So if I'm a guard and I have a three technique and he's going out to try to pick the tackle's hip and then the defensive end, who's the second person in the stunt, the looper, is going. If you guys get on bad levels and the guard doesn't prevent the tackle, the penetrator, from getting to your buddy's hip, then you have two guys blocking one, and he's splitting you, and then the looper's scot-free. So that's what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing the first guy not stopping the penetration to allow the second lineman to pass that off. And it's been showing up every week. And, you know, when Deshaun said that the Giants were doing looks that they hadn't practiced, it was five-man pressures with twists. So that's what they're going to see. They're going to see five-man pressures with twists. And they're going to see that now, where they're going to have three-man games up front. So you'll have two down linemen, interior linemen, angle, and then you'll have a looper. And until they pick it up consistently and shut it down, and you know, Deshaun and the offense make teams pay, you're still going to see it. Because if teams can generate pressure with five people just doing simple games and having the rest of the guys in coverage, I mean, that's easy defense. The defensive coordinator is like, we could do this all day. I don't have to dial up 6-7-man pressures and hope that our back end can cover these guys man-to-man. So until you consistently stop those twists, you're going to see them week in and week out.
John Greco joining us here on the show. What is going on with DeJuan Jones?
Man, I had so much fun watching him last year. He's such a big man, and he was moving well last year. This year, he's not, for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because, you know, he's battling an injury, which I'm sure a lot of guys do and are right now. But for some reason, he looks a tick slower than he did last year. And I think his technique has changed. I don't know if he's getting a little bit lazier on his sets. Without being in the room, I don't know what they're told to do on certain pass situations. But I know good tackles that I've played with in my career had a plan pre-snap against a guy that they were playing in a given situation with whatever pass protection it was, that they would say, hey, I'm going to jump set this guy, I'm going to short set this guy, I'm going to vertical set, I'm going to 45-degree set. They had a plan, and they were able to execute multiple sets given the defender and given the situation with whatever pass protection they were in. And it just seems like DeJuan right now, whatever angles he's taking, his footwork's getting, you know, he's up underneath himself on his footwork. Either he's slow out of his stance, or he's just a step behind where he was at this point last year, because he was so terrific last year. And that's what's making everybody so frustrated. And you see him making kind of mental mistakes where, you know, there's two guys coming, and, you know, he's supposed to block the most dangerous of the two, and he's blocking neither. And I think that's why Deshaun Watson is getting so upset, because everybody knows his potential, and for whatever reason, it's just not there right now. Do I think he can get it corrected and fixed? I do. But, you know, he has to kind of look at what he's done last year, what works best for him, and you know, either get healthy or continue to try to, you know, get in shape. But he's got to work on his sets, because his hands are there. When he gets his big mitts on people, I mean, he locks them down. We've seen him do that against the best pass rushers in the league. But right now, it's just not there, guys. So some of those things that I just said about his technique or just getting out of his stance quicker, you know, continuing to maintain his weight, I've heard people say that, oh, he looks big. He's a huge man, and they weigh in once a week. So trust me, they're not sitting there letting that's very well known. They're not letting a guy, oh, let's just let this guy balloon 25 pounds. He has a weight, and he's supposed to maintain that, or they're going to, you know, attack his pocketbook. So
do that with offensive linemen, or they do it with everybody on the team?
No, it's everyone. Everybody weighs in every Friday. I don't know what the fine total is now, but it used to be, you know, $700 a pound over. So
$700 a pound.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
You guys made a Wagyu?
I'm sorry.
Nothing. Go ahead, John. Yeah. I'm sorry. That was shocking.
Right. No, a lot of people don't know that. So yeah, you're weighing in every week. So it's not like, oh, you know, he's just enjoying himself and gonna be 20 pounds over, you know. But maybe he was weighed less last year, and that's a comfortable weight that he can get out of his stance and move effectively. So that's why I think it's something knee related or injury related that's just slowing him a half a tick and causing him to be behind.
That is shocking. That is really shocking. That is, that might be headline stuff for 92.3 The Fan. I didn't know it was $700 a pound. I knew that you guys find people for that stuff, but that was unbelievable. What did you think of Deshaun Watson's game Sunday?
I thought he played well enough to win. And you know, I've said that on the show, and when they're in situations like in Jacksonville or you know, even last year before he got hurt, I was at the Baltimore game. I told myself long ago, I'm going to stop trying to put him. I know his contract is what it is, and I don't want to expect him to be Superman every week. And then you're just disappointed if he's not. And then you start the whole thing with who's to blame? Who's to blame for this? The fact of the matter is, you know, when he's putting the ball where it needs to be, if there's a penalty, guys are dropping it, or it's getting tipped and intercepted. I love to see the fire. It seems like he's starting to be more of a vocal leader, at least out on the field. I'm not saying that he's not behind the scenes, because I hear Joel and some of these other veterans say that he is. And I don't think they're just making that up to make everybody feel better. But yes, he showed signs that, you know, you always hear me talk about his ability to create outside of the pocket and find guys open downfield. I mean, it happened on the touchdown that got called back about the Nakera situation that we talked about earlier. But I thought he'd play well enough for them to win the game, and they didn't. So, of course, we're going to still talk about it. But, you know, that consistency has to be there week in and week out. And we have to see him continue to play that way. And hopefully everybody around him says, okay, we need to elevate our games to match that. Because right now it's every week it's two or three areas of the team that's coming up short, and it's causing them to lose. So, you know, was he the reason to blame this week? No, he was not in the top three to four reasons why they lost. You know, last week, prior weeks, yes, you know, that some of the throws weren't there, but this week he played well enough that I thought that they should have won, or they could have won, but they fell short due to a variety of reasons.
Nick Chubb coming back, is that a godsend? Is that as big a deal as we're going to make it out to be? Because he's going to practice tomorrow, and we're all losing our minds here. We're excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too, Ken and Anthony, because I think Nick Chubb is such a huge part of this organization and such a fan favorite. He's quiet. He's reserved. He says the right things. He works his ass off. And then he comes out, and he's explosive. So I just think that the team, the fans, the organization needs a spark right now. So I think that he could be that. And when you get David Njoku back, I would hope to assume that these starting tackles are going to be back at some point. You get Wyatt Teller back for divisional games. And you see where this thing lands. And hopefully the defense starts tackling a little bit better. But yeah, Nick Chubb coming back is a big deal, and we should all be excited about it. Is he going to play this weekend? I don't know. But I would have to assume that guy, with his work ethic, with his determination, that he has been doing everything, his rehab, tirelessly to try to get back and be the best version of himself. So we will see what that looks like. I'm excited to hear what the folks in Berea have to say after his practice tomorrow. But I think we should all be excited about it, because he's so explosive and such a big character in this organization.
John Greco with us on the show.
John, one last thing. What are you going to do about keeping Toledo out of the Mountain West Conference?
Yeah, what the hell is that? Yeah.
You can't let this happen.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, me personally, I'm just complaining about it with you guys on the radio. The thing is, I heard Big 12. So I was like, okay. There was a big rumor that
Matt Campbell can run, but he can't hide.
You're right. We've won at Iowa State before. We will damn sure do it again. Guys, I don't know. That would be – I don't know if I could stay up till 10 o'clock and watch them play teams out west and have to go out there. But if that's what it takes to get them more exposure, to get to continue to build the program and take it to the next level, and get big recruits and start being able to or continue to be able to compete in the NIL sphere and world, and if it gets them into the expanded 12-man playoff and winning championships, hey, we'll win whatever conference we're in. So if it's Mountain West, if it's Big 12, we'll show up, we'll compete, we'll play on Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Ken, we'll play on Thanksgiving. We don't give a damn. Wherever you are, we will play.
John, thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. And, of course, we'll talk to you again next week.
Guys, it's always fun. Have a good day.
You too. John Greco joining us. Almost thought he was going to say, I don't give a bleep what day. $700 a pound, which John did some more research, courtesy of the CBA.
Yeah, he sent us the document, the collective bargaining agreement. In there, under Section 1, maximum discipline, Article 42, club discipline. In Article B, overweight, progressive discipline up to a maximum fine of $730 per pound, which fine may be assessed no more than twice per week.
Oh, my God.
Twice per week, Kenny.
Oh, my God.
Each week, beginning on Monday and ending on Sunday, with each fine at least 3 days apart. Wowzers.
So that's a total of $1,460 a week if you can't. Yeah, that's a hell of a lot. You got to love food. You got to love it. It's got to be a true passion.
Mm-hmm.
$1,400. I mean, good God, you never spent that much on skiing back in the day. I mean, that's true addiction.
It can
addiction.
Be more than $1,400.
Well, he said no more than twice.
You can only be weighed twice a week. You could weigh 10 pounds over twice a week.
Oh, that's right. God, yeah. I'm thinking you're just 1 pound over. Holy cow. So it's $730 a pound.
And they could hit you on Tuesday and again on Saturday.
Oh, my God. It's just better to stay in shape. I don't know what you do.
Well, you think the motivation.
During the offseason.
I mean, the motivation is to be able to handle yourself on the football field.
I think it's different now, though.
I think the money is the motivation. It would be for, I think, a lot of people. If I'm on the field, then I get thousands of dollars. And then if I don't get on the field because I'm overweight, I don't get that money. Plus, they take more.
You pay a lot of thousands of dollars. Owen's right. Also, I think it's a little bit different now. Like, you're seeing a lot of offensive linemen. Like, I forget who was the line coach of the Raiders. And he was
Art
just.
Shell.
He just. Oh, come on now. RIP?
Yes. Yeah.
Are we sure?
Hall of Famer.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Art Shell is. Oh, no. He is still alive.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Call it a comeback.
I killed him off in my head long ago.
I thought he was definitely gone.
No, the great Art Shell is not the late Art Shell. Art Schleister is still alive, right?
Who knows anymore?
Is he in prison is the question. He is alive.
In prison.
Oh, I don't know if he's in prison. Is he in prison?
I think it's every month.
Yeah,
you have the Art Schleister Google alerts.
He was sentenced to 11 years last September.
Oh. Whew. Okay. Oh, that's a downer.
We got to this list.
Sorry.
Nonsense. Yeah.
Boy, that's a lot of money. But a lot of offensive linemen slim now afterwards.
Right.
Like they get like Joe's the easiest example, but there's so many more. They it's different. It's like they had to keep it on. Used to be they just turned into great big manatees afterwards, but here they are. All right, the nonsense list.
Well, I was starting to jot some things down, and this is one of those things that every football team has some stuff going on, you know, on the periphery. They've got, you know, just general things that you could construe as, would you say, distractions. Like, let's say, for instance, Kansas City, but they're 4-0. But Kansas City, I mean, how much did they have to deal with in the offseason? And already once the season has begun, meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes is like on pace for 20 interceptions, and they're 4-0. So it's okay. So when you win, these lists become very moot, do they not?
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you're 1-3 and you're losing to really bad teams,
yeah,
you get the official nonsense list.
We're going to have to find music for this because this is too damn good.
We'll just give you some Browns music there.
All right, here we go.
All right, and we had a new addition this morning to the nonsense list. But we start out with DeJuan Jones, Jameis Winston, and Deshaun Watson.
Oh, God. The rift on the sidelines. On the
side. Not a big deal if you win the game, right? In fact, it's a great story if you win the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing leadership. And Deshaun Watson coming back over and setting the record straight on that. And, hey, they're maturing. Watch them. Look at the leadership. Instead, you lose and you appear on the nonsense list.
Oh, boy.
Number two after that game. Boy, they come in droves, don't they? Elijah Moore's dad tweeting about his kid only getting one target. Harkens back to another father that definitely got the Cleveland Browns on the nonsense list.
All you have to do, go get a camera.
Here comes,
they're cheap.
You gotta
Let's
buy,
go.
Do you need Avid? It's kind of expensive.
Let's
Final
go, Kubrick.
Cut Pro, you can
Final
get a monthly.
Pro. You don't want to get Avid? Yep. I want him to be able to edit it, not sit there and cuss it out.
Number three on the nonsense list. The Amari Cooper season from start to finish so far. From the contract stuff to lashing out a little bit with a smile on his face at the media last week to after the Raiders game, just skedaddling right afterwards, refusing to talk to reporters. Something that had never been a problem before with Amari Cooper.
Yeah,
and then, of course, cool. The drops, the motion penalty. Somebody said he ran the wrong route someone openly speculated that he...
On what play?
On the final play of the game. That Deshaun Watson ended up taking the sack. It's the nonsense list. It's what happens when you lose.
Oh, yeah, it's nonsense.
This is a repeat offender, and it goes back, really, the last 3 years. Quincy Avery, after every game, going at it with Browns fans. That is a quarterback coach of the Cleveland Browns.
You can end up...
I shouldn't say the Cleveland Browns. He's a quarterback coach of Deshaun Watson. And finally...
I think you want to end up in the crosshairs on that one.
And finally...
I ain't saying nothing.
On the nonsense list for your Cleveland Browns, your wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, he's been the best of them all so far this year. He's tired. He was too tired last game.
He's tired.
Again, doesn't it matter happens. If you win. Doesn't matter. So much of this goes away. Amari Cooper. They don't call the flag. They don't call the ticky-tack.
I feel there's more nonsense.
Okay, well, add to it.
I don't know off the top of my head. I feel there's more nonsense.
If you want to add to the nonsense list or if you want to suggest and have a candidate for the nonsense list.
What other nonsense
you know
could
us.
There be?
Use the hot button.
Those are very, yeah.
If you can use the word skedaddle in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. That helps. That.
You can use the coming in hotline. Go ahead. You can get the free Odyssey app. If you haven't already downloaded, go to the free Odyssey app and use the coming in hotline, which you all you have to do is click on the microphone next to the listen live button, and away
get right
you
now.
Go.
Get them right now. I know people are in their car.
Yes.
They're probably on I-480, stuck in traffic.
Add
and
to the
thinking,
nonsense list.
Oh, Lima forgot about this one. Ken forgot about this one. Let us know. We'll keep it updated.
Add to the nonsense list. It'd be fantastic. Get the coming in hotline. Use the coming in hotline. We'll play it by the end of the show. 216-474-0092. Or get the free Odyssey app and use the coming in hotline. Also remember, the emerging podcast scene coming up after the show today, 10:15, where leaving Cleveland to move south is one of the big questions that are being posed out there. We'll talk Gardo's coming up here at around 8:45. Let me tell you this right now. I think that a lot of folks, if they're going to lose, they don't want to accept losing. Fans do not want to accept losing. I think that a lot of fans, I felt that they could be a playoff team this year. It looks more and more like I'm wrong. The season isn't over, but it's looking bleak, right? Let me tell you this. I think to a lot of people, they did not think that they were going to be a playoff team. And so if they feel they're going to lose, considering the reaction I got yesterday where all I said was in that game Sunday, you can blame a lot of things. I can't blame the quarterback. Now, if you wanted to go and say he took the sack and should have thrown the ball to the end zone, I totally agree. You got to give it a chance to happen. Anything can happen in the end zone. You got to get rid of that ball. And if he comes down with a pick, I know it's going to be used against you, but you shouldn't care about that because it's the land of sports talk radio and you got most of us blocked anyway. So he shouldn't care about that. But in the entirety of the game, I thought he played well. There's no pretty, kind of, whatever. I thought he played well. He didn't play bad enough to lose. He played well. And the reason I got was, obviously, I got a lot of what he's done this season. And I said, I didn't say he was good all year. I said he was good Sunday. He was okay in the game against Jacksonville. He was terrible in the other two games. This game, he was good. I thought he played well. And I think there's a lot of people that they didn't think that they were going to be a playoff team. And they will accept losing. But they're going to lose the way they want to lose if they're going to lose. Meaning that if they lose, okay, fine. But I don't think they want the quarterback here, and they want him to look bad while they lose. And I think it truly bothers them not only that they lost, but that the quarterback looked okay. Because I'm telling you right now,
it's a great point,
he plays well and they lose, it changes this entire conversation about their future.
It's one of the big misnomers, I think, all the time when people talk about fan support and loyalty to a team is that fans don't root for their team to lose. And I said, I've rooted for my team to lose. And when anybody ever presses me, I'm like, yeah, there's certain coaches or quarterbacks that I didn't want to see anymore in a Browns uniform. And winning only prolonged that stay. And I'm telling you, we know the approval rating for Deshaun Watson in this town. It's as low as it gets for any quarterback that isn't like a bust quarterback, like a proven bust quarterback. Like we saw this week. He can still play. Mm-hmm. Like he that arm may be getting better and better, by the way.
He was looking downfield as he was running. Yes. He didn't pull his eyes down with the ball.
Yes, but his approval rating here is in the mud. We all know the reasons. We don't have to go over the reasons. So there's no doubt that there are people rooting for him to play poorly. And you saw it last year. The minute Flacco took over, all of a sudden the relationship this town had with the quarterback was on another level again. Mm-hmm. It was like Baker when they opened the victory fridges. It was Bernie Kosar all of a sudden. Like that happens. That does happen in this town. Brian Hoyer, when he started out 7-4, people were going nuts. But with Deshaun Watson, the better he plays, but then they lose, man, that puts a lot of those fans in like a weird purgatory.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of fans that want this over as soon as possible. And if they're going to lose, they will accept it begrudgingly, but he's got to play poorly. And yesterday or Sunday was the worst type of loss imaginable. Because if anybody's telling the truth, you can't sit there and lie to yourself and say he was bad on Sunday. He was not bad on Sunday. He was good on Sunday. And if he continues to play like that, one, when they get some other people there and they do start to get their footing, they should start to win some games. Or two, then we're going to have to look in other directions because he ain't going anywhere. Lima, we want to learn from history on this station. And I made an asinine guarantee last week where I'm like, I'm never making a guarantee again. I had another thing that I had said back in 2017 that came back and bit me in the ass. Even though the Guardians were up, or the Indians were up 2-0 in that series, where I had said, bring on the Yankees. Yesterday, Peterlin and Nick were arguing, and Nick was like perfectly fine with saying, did he say bring on the Tigers?
Yes, he did.
He said, bring on the Tigers.
Give me the Tigers.
He said, give me the Tigers. All right, this is Nick. As today, the wild card series starts, Tigers and Astros are getting ready to do battle. Here is Nick and Peterlin yesterday.
Give me the Tigers. Lord, give me the Tigers.
Whoa. You want to take on the Tigers?
Yeah, as opposed to the Astros? The team that's been there for 7 straight ALCSs?
The team that's won 10 out of the last 11, hottest team in baseball for the previous 5 weeks, and you guarantee that then take on Skubal at least twice in that series, the best pitcher in baseball? Yeah, I'm a little scared of the Tigers.
Wait, who's a better team, Astros or Tigers?
I think the Tigers right now are playing way better baseball.
I think the Astros are going to sweep their ass.
By the way, all the people that are like, oh, deadline moves, they mean nothing and all this nonsense. Have you seen how good Kikuchi is with Houston this year?
I don't like the way you're thinking here.
Why?
Because
we better hope they cool
off. Nice September.
Best team in baseball in the previous 5 weeks. They closed out the year winning 10 out of their last 11. Yeah,
and
they're hot.
And how much experience How much experience do they have in the playoffs? None. Even Skubal, who is
they
great.
Haven't made the, it's been a decade since they've been in the postseason.
Outside of overpowering stuff, what's the number one thing that matters more than
anything? Wait, can I hit you with a really hot take that you're not going to like?
I'll never say no.
AJ Hinch, manager of the year.
216-474-0092. Stephen Vogt hater.
He did not like that.
Stephen Vogt hater. Jonathan Peterlin sit across from me.
Took him from 8 games under 500 into the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
For what is it, 3 good weeks?
It was 5.
So I think both make points. I know I'm supposed to have a hot take on a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to go shooting my mouth off about either team. The Astros are the Astros, and I'm basically afraid. Owen was there to see the Astros on Saturday.
Yeah.
I do not want to play the Astros whatsoever, but I don't think I'm interested in, like, saying bring on the Tigers. Like, that is...
Yeah, well, we were 7-6 against the Tigers in a regular season. What, 1-4 against the Astros.
Yes, canceled the last game.
So they're hotter than a bastard, though.
Obviously, we know.
Well, the Tigers are hotter than a bastard.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
See, here's the thing about
Everyone's
Tigers.
Hotter than a bastard.
Like, that's we true. Know the Tigers really well. They also know us. Do you think that factors in? Because I think what Jonathan said about having us off with this year's Cy Young Award winner, potentially twice, well, definitely twice in a series, that does make me very nervous with our lineup. I told you that I was more concerned about our lineup in the playoffs than I was going to be about our pitching.
Forced to make a decision. Yeah, I'm worried more worried about our lineup, which I didn't think we would actually have to say. I'm more worried about our lineup. However, like I am not interested in bringing on the Astros. If I have to make a choice, which I don't want to make a choice. Yeah,
they've got the household names,
yeah,
the Astros.
If I have to make a choice, I have to say the Tigers. They're less experienced. The Astros are this pall that hangs over the rest of the American League.
Yeah.
And as soon as you thought that they were left for dead, I don't think anybody actually outside of Houston thought they were left for dead. Like, I follow Landry and a lot of people, and they're like, this team sucks. And here they are again, and I'm not interested in playing the Astros whatsoever.
Well, can I just take a minute and go over a little revisionist on the weekend? Because we knew before the Astros came to town this last weekend and what was the dry run for me for a playoff series, that they had switched their pitching rotation up. They had went with a bullpen game. They had decided they were going to do an opener on Sunday with an opener and then Gavin Williams to try to see how he looked coming out of the pen and things like that. But there was an opportunity after the Yankees lost on Friday to the Pirates to go in, win Saturday, and then avoid this whole who do you want, Tigers or Astros thing. And it could have been who do you want, Orioles or Royals. And I would have said it doesn't matter either one because now the Astros or Tigers are playing the Yankees. But they didn't do that over the weekend. They conceded to the second pick or the second spot in the playoffs. And now they're not in a great spot having to deal with.
It's a vote mistake, you're saying?
Yes. I think it's a huge vote mistake.
I don't disagree with what you're saying right there. I don't at all.
Much in a way we debate things when it comes to the Browns about decisions. Was that a vote decision or was that an organizational?
Well, I'm sure somebody from above him probably said, hey, let's think about what we're doing here. Well, getting the rotation and getting the arms ready for the play. But we had a week off either way. We had six days off.
That needs to be Stephen Vogt's decision. He's the one in the clubhouse every day. I don't know if Antonetti and Chernoff are in the clubhouse every day. Maybe they are. But he's the one who's got to be on the road trips with him. He's the one who knows his team. That's got to be a Stephen Vogt decision. On Saturday and going for the gusto, if he has full faith and confidence in his team to take on all comers, that's fine. But, yeah, I agree with Owen. I'd rather have it be Orioles. You got to play somebody. So they're going to put somebody in front of you that you have to beat. I'd rather play Orioles or Royals than play two of the hottest teams in baseball.
Well, and that's unfortunately the way that this new system is. It's like we're fortunate that we got the time off and we get to, you know, configure our rotation and our bullpen is going to be rested. Although some will say the bullpen guys say we like to work.
Right.
Like that we don't like this time off. The hard part is that whoever comes in will just have left their last game celebrating, feeling good. Most likely their lineup will be in a rhythm when our guys are just sitting here doing simulated games. And so this is the one hard part about this whole process. You want the bye. We all understand that.
But they had the bye, so why not try the easier road,
And that's the other part of it,
too. I totally agree. If somebody came down from the front office and said that, I have a real problem with that. I mean, you get a week off anyway. I know the guys could get hurt, but, I mean, just look at the matchups. I'd much rather play either Baltimore or Kansas City than Houston. There's just a terrible history there, all the way from the goofball standing on top of the dugout with the phone out, taking pictures of things. Or you got the Tigers where I don't want to be part of their mystical journey back to the ALCS. They've been great. I mean, they were basically left for dead to begin the season in last year, and it thought like I did. I didn't think they were going to make the postseason, so I'd said back in July, like, hey, that's a team that they got some talent there. You kind of got to see what they're going to have here over the next couple of years, and then they make the postseason. I don't want to be a part of that run.